Hello, and welcome to Out of the Coal Mine by Pastor Mark Jasinski. It's good to be back with you this week. We took a little time off. We traveled down to North Carolina to see family. Had a good time. Good time hanging out with family, riding horses, walking trails, eating good food, and we took a ride out to the Outer Banks. I'd never been out there before, and it was some beautiful weather headed out there between that sound and the ocean. There's a road on the way out there. I forget the name of the highway, but it's got sand dunes on both sides. I'll post a picture of it as the title picture of this podcast. And really, it looks like snow. You know, I'm coming from Wisconsin, and it looked like snow hills on both sides of the road. In fact, they use snow plows to push the sand off the road, as you have ocean on one side and ocean water in the sound on the other, blowing over the road. So it was pretty neat. We headed out there and enjoyed our time. Saw some sights, swam in the ocean, chased some crabs. We hopped on a ferry, and we went to a nearby island and spent the day there as well. So it was a good vacation, and then we got back. We're all pretty tired. I'll recoup now, and here we are, back with you at the end of June here. And so we've been preaching a sermon series in June. June belongs to Jesus, and it's been through the book of Jude. It's been a fun and challenging, obviously, in the times we live in, sermon series to preach. But God sure does show that June belongs to Him. All months belong to God. And so we praise God for June that will be marked in our memories for history, not only in the places where we live, but also in our denomination. We had a really good synod that met. We'll have an update on synod here at church, where we'll meet together and discuss some of the decisions that were made at this year's synod. And I'll do a podcast as well, updating some of the decisions that were made. But we do praise God that June and all months belong to Jesus. So we come to Lord's Day 12. And on our Lord's Days, tied to the Apostles' Creed, in Lord's Day 11, the question was asked regarding Jesus. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior? And the answer in Lord's Day 11 was because He saves us from our sins and because salvation should not be sought and cannot be found in anyone else. There is no other name under heaven by which we will be saved. It's Jesus. That's the plan. There is no plan B. It's Christ or nothing. That's why it's Christ or chaos. He is the root of salvation. He's the only way to heaven. There is eternal heaven. There is eternal hell. And every human will spend eternity someplace. We're made eternal beings. We'll be fitted with eternal bodies suited for eternal heaven or eternal hell. And Jesus is the only way to be saved. That's it. He is the only way for salvation. And how does that work? Well, you place your faith in Christ. You repent of sin. And that faith that connects you with Jesus, Jesus' life and His death covers you. All that He did is given to you. It's credited to you as if you had lived the life Christ had lived, even though we haven't, right? So we're sinful. We're sinners. But Christ takes our sin. He receives the judgment, the wrath of God for our sin in our place. And He gives us His life as if we lived it. So we're saved through Christ alone. And so as we discuss Jesus in the Heidelberg Catechism, we come to Lord's Day number 12. That's question 31, and the question is this. Why is He called Christ, meaning anointed? And the answer? Because He, Jesus, has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who fully reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our deliverance. He's our only high priest, who has delivered us by the one sacrifice of His body, and who continually pleads our cause with the Father. And Jesus is our eternal King, who governs us by His word and Spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom He has won for us. So again, why is Jesus called the Christ, meaning anointed? And the answers again were, He is our chief prophet and teacher. He is our only high priest. He is our eternal King. Jesus, as the chief prophet and teacher, He reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our deliverance. Now, we can all look around at the world. We can look at all that God has created, and we know that God exists. We're left without excuse. We see the stars. We see the trees. We know that somebody made this. It's too intricate. It's too magnificent. I mean, scientists should marvel at the beauty and the wonder of what God has created. It's so amazing to look at. So God reveals himself in all that we see, and that's that general revelation. But in specific revelation, we have God's word, the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit, where we learn of how we are to be made right with God and what is that only way for our deliverance. And it's Jesus who fully reveals to us, as this question and answer tell us, the secret counsel and will of God concerning our deliverance. That's one of the differences with Christianity and all other religions. Christianity is open. It's out there. It's not concealed. It's not secret. We don't keep things from others. It's not an advancement of levels of secret knowledge like the Gnostics or some cult, right? Christianity is open. It's there for everyone. Jesus reveals it. Here, have at it. Nothing hidden, all revealed. And Jesus is our only high priest. He's delivered us by his one sacrifice of his body. God himself taking on flesh. Only God able to bear the weight of the wrath of God himself. No one else can bear that weight but God himself. And he takes it on himself in human form in Christ. That one sacrifice of his body. And he continually pleads our cause with the Father. We read that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, who's continually interceding for us. People ask, what is Jesus doing? Well, we read he's seated, but that's that place of all rule and authority. He rules and governs all things right now. And he prays for his people. He prays for us. I mean, what a great encouragement to know that Jesus is praying for you right now. And the Creed in Lord's Day 12, question 31 says, he is also our eternal King. He governs us by his word and spirit. He is the foundation for life and practice, right? All that he's given to us in his word, he guards and he keeps us. He will make sure we get to heaven. We belong to him. He purchased us. We're his property. So he preserves us. That's the perseverance of the saints. He'll make sure we get to where he's taking us. I think it was R.C. Sproul that said, if we could lose our salvation, we would. But Christ keeps us. He holds us. He guards us in the freedom that he's won for us. That's question 31 of Lord's Day 12. And then we come to question 32, which is this. But why are you called a Christian? Why are you called a Christian? What would you say? If you were called to give an account for the hope that's within you, what would your answer be? Why are you a Christian? What does that mean? And here's the answer the Creed gives us in question 32. Because by faith, I am a member of Christ. And so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. That is beautiful. We are Christians because we share his anointing. Why do we share his anointing? Because he has given us the gift of faith, right? We confess his name. We're saved because of the faith he puts in us that connects us with what he has done on the cross. We confess his name by that gift of faith he gives us. And then we present ourselves as living sacrifices of thanks. All of our sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. That doesn't mean we're perfect, right? So we strive, the Creed says, with a free conscience that all has been forgiven, past, present, and future. We strive against any remaining sin in our life. And there is remaining sin in our lives, isn't there? We see it. As the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, we strive against it. We turn from it. We repent, and we turn back towards Christ, and we strive against the devil. His schemes haven't changed. His plan book is pretty clear. To crush the faith of the church, to distract this world, to keep it in darkness. But the light of Christ shines, and it scatters the darkness, doesn't it? Once we were darkness, and now we're light. Darkness of our own sin, as John MacArthur said in one of his more recent sermons, which I'd encourage you to listen to. It's on Ephesians. And God has brought us into the wonderful light of his Son. And light, we know what it does. It does scatter darkness, doesn't it? So we strive with a free conscience against our sin and against the schemes of the devil, don't we? And afterward, we will reign with Christ. Now, this is beautiful to think about. And we don't fully understand what this even looks like. You know, we're credited with all things that belong to Christ. And part of that is reigning with him. We'll even judge angels. What does that mean? I don't understand passages that speak to what this reigning looks like, but it's going to be beautiful. Well, thank you for joining me today on Out of the Coal Mine as we looked at Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12. It's good to be back with you. Paul Hammonds will be back here with me on Wednesday, and we'll have another conversation then. But until then, I'll talk to you soon.